The Holy Spirit will teach you everything, says Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. Teach you everything. This is quite a proposal when you stop to think about it, as I suggest we need to do today. I have been, and I suppose in some ways I still am, a teacher. But we've all been teachers in some way or another. If not professionally, at least we've been teaching. Because parents are teachers, with or without a degree. Maybe the marriage license is all you need. But we all know what it's like to be with someone who believes that they know everything. Everything there is to know. There are a lot of people in this world like that. Perhaps that's why the world's in such a disarray right now. So many people know everything. And so, what can you do to lead or to teach? I've discovered that the best teachers are the best learners. Many times when I was formally teaching, I learned more from my students than I taught them, especially when I'd spent a lot of time preparing and then got to class only to discover it wasn't what they needed to know, and certainly let you know that. Yet there are also teachers who believe that they know it all. And my experience as a student is that they didn't teach very well. And if I learned anything in their class, sometimes it was in spite of them. Believing that you know it all is an obstacle to the success of the whole project of learning. So the gift of the Holy Spirit that John describes today is a very profound and important gift necessary for life. It is, in some sense, a power of transformation and an actual spirit or an attitude with which to face the world. The gifting of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate today on Pentecost, is not, as some people like to say, the birthday of the church. That idea has annoyed me for decades. In my opinion, this is not theological doctrine, but it ought to be. In my opinion, if there was one moment to mark the beginning of the church, it was at the Last Supper with Jesus on his knees, washing feet. But having a birthday party today is a perfect example of how we have sentimentalized and reduced the power of God to trivial ideas that open up us to ridicule and misunderstanding all around the world. And then we get written off by the secular world as silly dreamers who are trapped in some ancient kind of mythology inspired by this Bible, which gets used too often to judge and bully and insult intelligent people. Something's off the mark with all that thinking. The Holy Spirit teaches the teachable. The Holy Spirit, animating a living church, raises questions as much as it provides answers. The Holy Spirit is what makes the church intellectual as well as spiritual. The two are not opposed, but unfortunately, in this world, sometimes some would make it so. The Holy Spirit makes our church a place where great minds are awakened to the wonder of God and the mystery of creation. The Holy Spirit awakens the sleepy and disturbs the comfortable, especially those who think they know it all. The work of the Holy Spirit does not shape the church to say no to everything new, consecrating the past as though it were something sacred. But rather, the work of the Holy Spirit shapes the church that continues to ask what something new might mean, where it comes from, and what good can come of it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit itself is the source of something new. So a people who live in the Spirit, or a people who are alive and curious and wonder-filled and seeking the truth, seeking knowledge and seeking wisdom. A people who live in the Spirit, they have no confusion or doubt about God, like so many in this world today who listen to the noise of the new atheists. But who can blame them when all they hear is a people who think that God's my invisible friend, or God's my security blanket, or some mythological creature like Bigfoot who may or may not exist, so let's opt for safety and just say he does exist. People alive with the Spirit are always seeking greater and deeper knowledge of God, who's not an alien in this world. And God's not an item in this world either. God is bigger than all things. God's not the biggest thing that is. God's the reason for things to be. Our Catholic faith is intellectual, always seeking new and deeper knowledge and understanding. Our faith's not opposed or against science, as some would like to pretend and say these days. Science does not trump religion. The church is against scientism, which is that idea that science is the only reliable source of knowledge and information. Come on. Science cannot prove anything about love or beauty or truth. Yet our church has always been at the heart of science, and it's provided many of the greatest sciences of history. But yet, though scientists will like to bring up the whole issue of Galileo, but don't forget, Galileo was a practicing, living Christian. And that moment in history does not shape the whole rest of life. A people alive with the Spirit are people of peace. Yet one hears again and again the cry that religion is the source of all violence and the source of evil. It is an observable fact that this outcry began to be heard very loudly, very shortly after September 2001. The religious wars of the past all had their roots in a tragic and serious wrong reading of the scriptures. Again, it's the consequence of thinking we know it all. Why? Because it's written in the book. In fact, just because it's written in the book doesn't mean that's what the book is teaching. The Holy Spirit teaches. What the book says is not always what's being taught by the book. So the question's sometimes asked, do you believe in the Bible? Well, you know, that's like saying, do you believe in the library? Because that's what the Bible is, Biblia. Means library. It's a collection of various kinds of literature, each of which has to be known and studied for what they are and what they teach, not just what they say. My friends, the Holy Spirit has come to set us free, free from ignorance as much as free from fear. What we see happening to those first believers is that they began to understand what they were being taught. But you remember, at first they knew it all, didn't they, those apostles? They thought they knew what a Messiah was supposed to be like. And as long as they stuck with that idea, not much could happen. They couldn't accomplish anything. But then came wind and fire, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Wind and fire destroys things. The wind and fire came upon those apostles to destroy, in a sense, their made-up minds. The wind and fire came, but like a forest after a destructive fire, new life springs up again full of green and full of promise. Sisters and brothers, what Jesus gives and what we celebrate today on Pentecost is already more than we can ever imagine. But it stirs our hopes and it inspires our dreams for a new age of wisdom and knowledge, of patience, of peace, and of joy.